Hello and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to give common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. A special thank you to Undivided subscribers who make this show possible. If you're not a subscriber already, you can sign up, undividedpod.com. Undividedpod.com. Figure out how to support the show for as little as $5 a month. We would sure appreciate it. Certainly appreciate it. Coming up today, apparently it's never too early to go on the attack, even 18 months out from an election. Senator Mark Mullett, a state senator in Washington, a moderate Democrat. We anticipated this. He's officially announced his bid to be governor. And in anticipation of that, Bob Ferguson already released an attack ad, so we're going to go through that. We'll also have a response, finally, from the Olympia School District on that exclusive report we had yesterday on the show about this bizarre sex ed lesson taught by a representative from Planned Parenthood to 9 and 10-year-olds in the Olympia School District. Later on, we'll have Florida Report. Doesn't take long for the media to kind of set its sights on Ron DeSantis and start to treat him an awful lot like they treated another presidential candidate. They certainly wasted no time. So we'll get to all that in a moment. But first, I had a harrowing ordeal. We almost did not have a show today. Is that fair?
Well, I knew you were probably contemplating that, and I would have been like, it's okay, Brandi. We can do it.
So here yeah. I am. Last week, my car was in the shop It was in the shop for 8 days.
Yes.
Because it was having some unknown issue. Like one day I was sitting there and the little engine light came on. And it turned off like maybe 10 minutes later. But I was like, that's bizarre. Made an appointment. I don't think they really know what was wrong with it. And then the problem wasn't coming back. And so they gave me my car back. And then immediately I was like, it just isn't driving right.
Wait, you're not going to say that you went to get the car back and then it didn't work?
Look,
and
there
then
were
it
some issues
again.
Getting, I know I'm not going to throw my friends over
no,
there
no,
under
don't
the bus.
Say
yeah.
who it is.
So but. I had gone to pick it up and they're like, it won't start.
Right.
And I was like, oh. So it's like, there's some unknown yes. issues with it. And it's a fairly new car. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I called him yesterday because I'm like, it's just, something's just not right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of jerking, you know, and I was like, and I don't know anything about cars. They're like, it's fine. You know, we'll make an appointment for next week. So I'm driving, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour down the interstate this morning. Car shuts off. Mid-interstate.
And
car shuts off.
Maybe we should say you were a little bit, you weren't late. Like, we don't have a time, but you were just on a different schedule.
I let
this
you know,
morning.
Like, hey, I'm not going to be in at 9. I'll probably be in closer to 9:30 yeah. and all of that.
So it was already kind of a time
pushing
thing
it.
For you.
It was a time mm-hmm. crunch. And then I call Nicole and I'm like, well, first I called the dealership and my fiance because my car genuinely stops on the interstate. And
that
it loses all power. Mm-hmm. And I've got people flying past me and I'm able to just ride the momentum into a gore point. I've never had any, and I'm a, you know, listen, I was overwhelmed. So anyway, they call roadside service and they're going to tow it to the dealership, but it's not going to be for a couple hours. So mm-hmm. I called my hero, Nicole, who was already at the studio 20 minutes away. I was like, can you come get me from the interstate?
Of course. Why
and
wouldn't
she's just, and then I see her in my rearview mirror, like my white knight. And I was just so grateful. But anyway, we made it here. We yes. put a show together. It's going to be great.
Yes.
Thank you for coming to get me. I said, you deserve a
Absolutely.
Raise. And you said?
That was a friend job, not a job.
Yeah. Good. Love
but
it.
Yes. No, happy to. No, that I've been in that situation. I'm impressed that you haven't. You said, this is the first time yeah. this has happened to me. And it's not the first time. If it happened to me today, it wouldn't be the first time because I haven't always driven the nicest car, but I haven't driven clunkers, but things tend to go wrong for me.
Yeah, I've never had like a flat out car won't work in the middle of the interstate. And
I have
just
died on
barely
the interstate.
Made it off the interstate. And had I not, I would have been sideways through
yes.
lanes of traffic where people are going 70 miles an hour plus. So anyway, it was
it happened to me
ordeal.
In a construction zone, but it was my own fault.
Here
I
we
ran
are.
Out of gas.
I already love you guys in the comments today. Matthew Cook says, insanity, are you ready? Because Brandy's going to tear you down. I love it. So let's get to our news today. But anyway, more on my harrowing ordeal because we usually pre-tape Florida Report with my sister and we couldn't. And so I'm doing Florida Report solo today, but Miranda has passed along some stories to me. So
yeah.
She wanted to be here. My fault she couldn't be here. Anyway, first thing I want to do today is update you guys. Wow, our story really took off on the crazy, insane sex ed lesson given to 9 and 10 year olds in the Olympia School District. This was an exclusive we brought you on the show yesterday. As a reminder, this happened on May 9th. We just kind of got wind of it. And the Olympia School District had already had all these crazy things going on, you know, segregated groups for little kids based on the color of their skin and banned as racist and just all this weird stuff. So anyway, we learned that a representative from Planned Parenthood had come in and given an unapproved, apparently, lesson to 4th and 5th graders at Lincoln Elementary School in Olympia. So we broke that story yesterday, and we'd been waiting for a comment from the school district. Well, we have comment from the Olympia School District. I'll say it's not groundbreaking information, but they reiterated what we kind of knew based on emails between parents and the school's principal. The school district, Susan Gifford, who's executive director of communications and community relations for the Olympia School District, said the materials you referenced in your email are not part of the district's approved sexual health curriculum. We are investigating the matter and working with staff to get more information to determine next steps. And so, like, look, let's operate on the belief that that's true. And I actually, based on what I know, and we're going to discuss later on in the show in Unbelievable, I do believe that this isn't approved curriculum. The question I have is, did anyone else in the district know what this Planned Parenthood representative from the teen council was going to teach these kids? And my opinion is the district should never invite Planned Parenthood back. It's not just about that one presenter who allegedly went off script. If that happened and you can't trust an outside representative to stick to the curriculum that parents have been promised, then you shouldn't have an outside representative who's not accountable to the people, who's not a government employee. They shouldn't be teaching sex ed to kids. It should be a school representative who is accountable to the district and thus to the voters of Washington, the superintendent of public instruction, et cetera. But coming up in Unbelievable, what we thought would be important to do today is to explain to you what parents were told that their kids were going to get. Because parents knew there was going to be a sex ed lesson at this school, but they had been told it was going to be the approved flash curriculum. And so we went and looked at that. And what we're going to do coming up in Unbelievable is compare what kids were taught in this lesson to what they should have been taught. And you'll see how vastly, vastly different it is and how problematic it is. Okay, moving on. Mark Mullett announced his bid for governor this morning. We knew that this was coming. In fact, it was on our show that State Senator Mark Mullett had initially kind of hinted at the fact that he was strongly considering a bid for governor. And then last week, I was in Walla Walla speaking to the Washington Trucking Association. Mark Mullett spoke after me, and it was an unofficial launch of his campaign, really, where he said, yes, I am in the coming days going to announce my bid for governor. So he did that this morning. Here is a little bit of the launch video.
Look, Washington is like no other place. There's opportunity, diversity, and innovation. But it also desperately needs change. We have to lower costs for families, and that starts with affordable housing. Creating more pathways to the middle class by expanding vocational programs and recognizing a renewable economy creates a strong economy. But the same politicians in Olympia that you see on the news, they're not gonna be any different. They're too entrenched in the same fights and the same tired solutions. We can't keep trying to tax our way out of every problem. That's why I decided to run for governor, because I know our state can stay true to our democratic values and make it easier for the middle class to thrive. Because I know we can continue to lead the nation in fighting climate change while also being a friendly state to do business in. I'll stay focused on the challenges and opportunities of everyday Washingtonians, not the extremes, so we can deliver the best education to lift up the next generation and make sure every family can afford to live and thrive here. It's going to take all of us together to write the next chapter for Washington.
And I will say, I really liked the video. I enjoyed it. It was like 3 minutes long, and these social media launch videos have gotten out of control. They're way too long to play in their entirety. But I did like the video, you know, talking about going back to his roots, working class family. And I will say, Mark Mullett, he's doing well financially. He's a business owner. But, you know, I think he talks about the ability to sort of scratch your way up and to work hard. And I I think it's clear that I think highly of him as a politician in terms of he has dissented from his party a lot. Now, I have taken issue with some of his votes. He voted to ban semi-automatic rifles this past legislative session. He voted in favor of Senate Bill 5599, a topic that we discussed with him on one of our episodes of Sundays with Subscribers. So those are things that I think even for some moderates he's going to have to continue to explain himself on. And certainly when we have him on as a gubernatorial candidate, I look forward to discussing some of those issues with him. However, I will say, I think Mark Mullett had the best possible first day of a gubernatorial campaign that you can hope for. You know why? Bob Ferguson, who everyone, you know, is sort of believing is the front runner, and I think there's reasons for that. He must be so scared about the prospect of Senator Mark Mullett running against him that late last night, in anticipation of Mark Mullett announcing his bid today, Bob Ferguson released an attack ad against Senator Mark Mullett. So it was ready on day one. So I'm going to play for you. It's only 30 seconds long, but here is the attack ad.
Three reasons why Mark Mullett is the wrong choice for governor.
One, Mullett was the only Democrat to vote against protecting our reproductive health data. Pro-Choice Washington strongly opposed his vote.
Two, Mullett opposed the $15 minimum wage for Washingtonians, including his own workers.
Three, Mullett's bankrolled by big corporations, big oil, big pharma, and big insurance.
Three reasons why.
Mark Mullett is completely out of touch.
And the wrong choice for us.
Big oil, big pharma, big insurance. Okay, there's a few things there. I do find it interesting, and to me, it reeks of desperation a little bit that you have Bob Ferguson, who already comes out day one and says, oh my gosh, like, we need to have an attack ad ready the day that Mark Mullett launches, because to me, it signals that he views Senator Mullett as a threat. But I find just that attack ad in general very telling, and it's got these three women, you know, and they're all kind of look similar, and it almost is like meant to instill fear in voters about, you know, they talked about how Mark Mullett voted against House Bill 1155, which had to do with reproductive health data, which they said in there, but I think it's sort of trying to act as if Mark Mullett is like anti-abortion or something, which he's not. And then they say, oh, he didn't support a $15 an hour minimum wage, not even for his own workers. Yeah, but here's the thing. I don't think that Mark Mullett is trying to appeal to people who want to raise the minimum wage, you know, to $15, $20, $25 an hour. I think he knows that the progressive wing of the Democratic Party is not his base. Bob Ferguson already has the market cornered on that. So that's not who he's trying to appeal to anyway. And trying to scare people with, oh, he's supported by big business. Again, I think the people who would look down on that are the more progressive voters who Bob Ferguson already has. And so Mark Mullett, I think if he stays in his lane, ads like that aren't really going to bother him. But the other reason that I say this is probably the best first day of a gubernatorial campaign that Mark Mullett could hope for is the stranger already ran a piece on him. And the stranger for me is the anti-endorsement. So if the stranger likes someone, there's a real good chance that I would never vote for that person. This story was written by Rich Smith over at The Stranger. It says, State Senator Mark Mullett is running for governor. And the subhead is, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. And so they just go into this huge hit piece into Mark Mullett. And again, I think that's an endorsement for Mark Mullett and who he's trying to appeal to, who he's going to get votes from. They don't respect the stranger. They don't read the stranger. They wouldn't support Bob Ferguson anyway. And so I just think you have the stranger and Bob Ferguson trying to take Mark Mullett down a peg or two his first day of the campaign, and I think they actually serve to do the opposite. So this is going to be interesting. I still have really hard questions I need to ask and push Senator Mark Mullett on in terms of some of the votes that he has taken, and if he's trying to carve out a place for himself among moderates on the right and moderates on the left, I think he's going to have a hard time with some of the recent votes that he took. So we'll be following that. I also, by the way, think it's fascinating that Bob Ferguson is sticking by this exploratory campaign thing. He's been releasing endorsements, and he released one from former Washington Governor Christine Gregoire. It says, Christine Gregoire has endorsed our exploratory campaign. I'm like, good God, are you still holding to the exploratory campaign thing? There was this, and this came up last night. I did a live Q&A, our monthly Q&A that we do with subscribers, and somebody brought up that Carmen Best endorsed Bob Ferguson. Which I was like, oh, Carmen, why would you do that? The former Seattle police chief. But it really backfired on him. I mean, people on the right were just making fun of him for it because of the missing text messages and abandoning the East Precinct, et cetera, et cetera. But the far left was livid over it because they hate cops, you know? And so even former Seattle police chief Carmen Best isn't immune from that. They're like, why would you brag about this? So it was this endorsement that really did not go well for Bob Ferguson and his quote-unquote exploratory campaign. Okay, another follow to a story we've been discussing, which is the... Nicole, can you look for me when the MLB All-Star Game is? I think it's... beginning of July. Like, is it July 1st or something? It's not very far away. Okay, Nicole's going to look that up for me. But we have been talking about, and we played a story earlier on in the week from Jonathan Cho, who went down to the stadium districts. He saw a guy wheeling around with no foot, you know, and just this open sore. And you have, when did you find it?
Oh, yeah, July 8th, or 11th, sorry.
July 11th. So yes. We've got, you know, just over a month. And the idea that downtown Seattle is somehow going to be able to become a safe place or an inviting place for that matter for tourists from all over the country, I think is totally out of touch with reality. Now, could they go down there and artificially improve things a little bit just for that week-long period? Yeah, and I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to flood the area with law enforcement. They're going to go sweep out the homeless people, etc. So it's going to be a little band-aid of a solution, but I'm genuinely worried about something happening to a tourist because it has been happening. We talked about the attorney who was in town, who was here for all of 2 hours, and then some guy comes up and shanks him on the street in front of his hotel room. And there was another story that just reminded me of, so this happened on First Avenue, right at the entrance to Pike Place Market, and there was an attack on a stranger on stranger. A guy comes in and attacks this person. Here's the story from Como News.
Seattle firefighters rushed to help a man who'd been knocked to the ground and was bleeding heavily after being knocked to the pavement head first. This all happening during a busy Sunday afternoon on a holiday weekend near First and Pike by the entrance to Pike Place Market. Court documents state the 24-year-old suspect had been trying to start a fight and followed two people into this store, punching one of them. The blow causing the victim to fall into the store's scanner. Police say the suspect continued to threaten them, started to walk away, but then suddenly turned around and punched the victim again.
Yeah, and again, this is the heart of the city. As the reporter said, their busy holiday weekend, and... if you're watching on the stream, it looks like the person tried to dip into Showgirls to get away. I don't know if they're actually going to Showgirls, not that that matters, but I assume they were just trying to dip into somewhere to get away, and they get bludgeoned. And it's like, I genuinely think that there needs to be a focus from the local press, certainly some hard questions that the MLB and folks are asking about, okay, what is the plan between now and July 11th to keep people safe, because we don't want the world stage to see us like that. And we certainly don't want tourists to come here and have the stories be, you know, a baseball fan bludgeoned in Seattle by Pike Place Market. It's the last thing the city needs right now. So just another example of the fact that it truly is dangerous downtown. It's not fear-mongering. It is not fear-mongering. I have people accuse me of that on Twitter, the far left in Seattle, all the time of fear-mongering over Seattle. And to me, I'm like, what is your motivation for that? I don't understand the motivation of people who want to downplay how bad Seattle's become. I think that you have to hate the city to downplay how bad it's become. Because if you love the city, you should want to see a turnaround and you should be hyper-focused. And it's usually like the alt-left bloggers who are like, oh, you're overblowing things. It's like, what is your motivation for doing that? Just to hate on me? Because while the city crumbles around you and while people suffer on the street and while people are victimized, it's super strange to me. All right, coming up in our segment, Unbelievable, I'm going to show you what parents in the Olympia School District thought their fourth and fifth graders were going to learn in this sex ed lesson versus what they actually learned, which we talked about yesterday. But I want to compare and contrast the two. So that's coming up in our segment, Unbelievable. But first, if you're in the market to sell your home, I've been talking about our friend Wes Jones with Wes Jones and Associates. He's been doing this for a long time in the greater King County area. And he and his team have an innovative marketing strategy to make sure that not only do you get the best possible offer for your home, but you get it with the fewest contingencies.
We have programs in place to help you prep your home. We can help cover your repairs and even cosmetic upgrades, where you can pay for those at the, you know, at the closing table. We have a flexible commission structure. We have the absolute best marketing that you're going to find of any real estate agent. And there is a lot of programs and different things that we do that I go pretty in depth with on my website. So you can start by going to sellwithwest.com and go to the sell a house feature, and you can got to go under some of the different programs, you know, that we have to learn a little bit more. If you want to check out your home's value, just plug in your, you know, your address there. And if you want to book a consultation with me, just give me a, you know, just give me a call. My cell phone is there on the website, and you know, it's super low pressure. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth if this makes sense, you know, or it doesn't for you, and I'm going to treat you fairly.
Yeah, and as Wes alluded to there, sellwithwes.com, think of it more as a tool. Even if you are considering selling your home, you're not maybe ready to hire Wes Jones as a real estate agent, but sellwithwes.com can also be a valuable tool for you to plug in your address, see what your home's value might be, and to read more about what him and his team at Wes Jones and Associates can do for you. So visit sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. Okay, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Man, I was watching some good alien shows last night, speaking of unbelievable and our graphic. I love it. I love the alien shows. I'm sorry. And I feel like I'm not a conspiracy theorist anymore.
Wait, true story, UFO?
Like the, you know, the insider into the DOD investigations, mm-hmm. into UAPs. And I think it's fascinating.
Sometimes fascinating, sometimes a little scary. Those used to scare me when I was little.
Oh, 100% wow. Scary. But at the same time, like, if aliens want to come right now, I'm ready.
What?
I'm ready. You know, like, the world is just going downhill fast. I've had a good life.
Okay.
And I'll, you know, if they're nice, I'll be like, hey, I'll come with you. if my dogs and yeah, Mike can come.
Lucky.
Okay, right. Can we start this segment over, Nicole?
Okay.
I got really off track. Can we replay?
You want Unbelievable again?
The show open. Okay. I just need a clean start to the segment because I'm about to dive into sex ed classes for kids, and I just need to make sure that there's a clear open for that. Let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, we had an exclusive story yesterday about some sex ed lessons taught to fourth and fifth graders in the Olympia School District. I've had a lot of people asking, what school district? Well, you got to go read the story, but it's the Lincoln Elementary, or what school? Lincoln Elementary School in the Olympia School District, to our knowledge, is the only place this happened. And it was fourth and fifth graders. So if you got a fourth or fifth grader at a Lincoln Elementary, there's a good chance that on May 9th, they got these weird lessons from this person with a teen council from Planned Parenthood. So what I wanted to do today, because we mentioned in our story and in our reporting yesterday that parents were told their kids were going to get a sex ed lesson. It wasn't like some big surprise, but they were told it was going to be approved, what's called flash curriculum, for this age group. So parents went into it thinking, okay, we've been given a heads up as to what our kids are going to learn today that prepares us to talk to our kids about it if they have questions when they come home. Of course, parents were not prepared to reach into their kids' backpacks and pull out the book from hell of what their kids were actually taught in school. So what I want to do is compare and contrast so you can see how inappropriate what they were taught was versus what they should have been taught and sort of the age appropriateness of that. So as a reminder, one of the pages in this pamphlet that kids were got showed all these mock-ups, these little drawings of penises and vaginas, okay? And it talked about how, you know, it had like dozens of examples, and it showed intersex organs and what they'd look like. It had a picture of a vagina with like a cat face on it and just all these different, basically saying every body is a good body and your private parts might look like one of these and they might not. It's impossible to capture all the variations, etc. So that's what these kids were given. Now, compare that to the approved flash curriculum, which is incredibly, I would say, scientific. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very medical. It's just got charts that say, here's the reproductive system for a male, and here's the reproductive system for a female, and it shows the side view and the front view, and it has little numbers that point to all the parts and tells you what the part is and what it does. It's just a little black and white drawing. Like, to me, that's much better than a
picture of a vagina with a cat face shaved into it or
right.
something.
This is the worksheet. So they're supposed to learn the parts and then label the parts. That's the worksheet. And that's actually supposed to be the handout.
Right. And so that is miles different than the weirdness that they were shown and they were given. So you'll also remember that there was a page in the pamphlet that they were given by this Planned Parenthood person that showed examples of things that the kids might need for puberty. Okay, which on its face, I don't have a problem with for fourth and fifth graders. It said supplies that could be helpful during puberty, you get to choose what works for you. And it had, you know, really harmless things like pads and tampons and deodorant and jock straps and razors and training bras. But then on the page, it also had a picture of a puberty blocker, an actual implant using the brand name Supraline LA, saying it's a small flexible implant, and it had a picture of it. Again, normalizing that as something these children might need for puberty next to a picture of a razor and deodorant, which some people pointed out, it's like Degree deodorant, like brand
yes.
name.
Does Degree get a specific brand?
Does Degree get like a little cut from that? So anyway, that's what the Planned Parenthood person showed these kids versus what they were actually supposed to be shown in this flash approved for grades 4 through 6, which again is a worksheet. It's just a worksheet. It says name and date. It says directions. Put the letter of each word next to the correct definition of the word. And it has stuff on there. And this is one of the many things that were in the worksheet about puberty. But it talks about, So it has the word, you know, the words, I think, for kids. These might be like, oh, hey, mom and dad, what does this mean? But it has like the word erection, menstruation, nocturnal emission, egg cell, puberty, sperm cell, pituitary. Is that sweat gland?
Yeah.
What is pituitary?
Pituitary gland that controls everything.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. See, I'm learning something from this more than fifth grade. And then you had to match it to what it means. For instance, one of the options is the cell from a person with a uterus and ovaries that can start a pregnancy. I love how they say person as opposed to a woman or a female. But you see how it's just, it's a very mundane version of the little spreadsheet that had pictures of things, including a puberty blocker implant, where a kid goes like, I just can't even imagine. So the other thing that these kids were taught, as we discussed yesterday, is they were shown this gender wheel that was created by this woman who identifies as like a cheek and X gender queer fembot something. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, the gender wheel that the kids were given, it's like this movable wheel that shows them all the variations of how someone can look and identify. And you can, it says, words and ways of thinking are changing all the time as old limiting beliefs transform and evolve. And you can turn the wheel to say that I'm intersex and I present as a agender person and my pronoun is tree.
Yeah, apparently if you wear a beanie, yeah. you might identify as a tree.
As a tree. As a tree. Okay, and this is just wild stuff, okay? Right, it's absolutely wild stuff. And then in the approved flash education cards, again, this is what parents expected, it talks about gender, but in terms of gender stereotypes, which I don't particularly have an issue with. For instance, It has, you know, gender stereotypes for women and girls might be that they wear skirts, that they take care of babies, that they cry, that they are pretty, that they stay clean. Men and boys stereotypes might be that they're strong, they like sports, they get dirty, they get mad, they make money. So it's just teaching these fourth and fifth graders that, hey, you know, these gender stereotypes might not always align, and that's okay.
Right. I think in this grade is about when you learn stereotypes and how not everybody fits into a type, and that's okay. And you can be you and just not be like everybody else.
Yeah, we used to call it tomboy. You know, yeah. Oh, they're a tomboy. So I think it's pretty wild, the discrepancy. And I'm curious for you guys who are watching live, if you feel as if the flash curriculum that parents were told about is age appropriate. Obviously, I think most of us, 99.9% of us, would agree that the one that the kids were shown is certainly not age appropriate. But the question in our sort of effort moving forward is going to be hear back from the Olympia School District about not only how is this allowed to happen, but did any actual staff know or were they present? Because if this happened in a classroom, right? Did the teacher leave the classroom and then the Planned Parenthood person came in and took over? I have to imagine the teacher would stick around, right, for a sex ed class. So why didn't they stop it? Why didn't they stop it when they knew this wasn't what kids were supposed to be learning? And why did it take parents reaching out to the school for the school to be told about, or for parents to be told about it? So I think there's a lot of questions about, and we're going to, did you already reach out to the superintendent of public instruction?
Not yet.
Chris? So we're going to reach out because he had been very clear that, you know, this kind of stuff wasn't going to make its way into schools. And so we need to talk to them about how do you stop individual presenters from going off script? And is it appropriate to have someone from Planned Parenthood coming in and talking to kids? Because I tend to think it's not appropriate because you can't control them and they're not accountable to anyone. So anyway, a completely unbelievable story about what happened in the school district. And if you have any tips or anything about what your kids are being taught, we would love to hear about them. Go to undividedpod.com, undividedpod.com, and you can get that information to us. So simply unbelievable. Okay, coming up next, we're going to have Florida Report without Miranda, just with me. I hope that I don't disappoint you guys. But first, I've been talking about Firstmark Insurance, which they're the first people I thought of when I went today and I got my, I had my car incident, because the new car insurance I have has much better roadside assistance. So I was like, oh, maybe I need to call Firstmark and get in there and get the roadside assistance. But then my dealership took care of it, as they should have. But anyway, I took the Firstmark challenge with my fiance about a month and a half ago now, and we're so glad we did, because they ended up doing a review of our current insurance. We knew that we were woefully underinsured, so we were a little embarrassed going into it, but they were super nice about it. They told us where we could use more insurance or where maybe the insurance we had was just fine. And then we ended up becoming members of the Firstmark family. Dave Taylor, the CEO of Firstmark, came in and we talked a little bit about the services that they offer, and he made a good point, which is the only thing it costs you is a little bit of time. And if you come away from the Firstmark challenge just sticking with the insurance you already had, at least you learn something about it in the process.
We believe and we say that we will help 100% of the people that we work with. Okay. Now that doesn't mean necessarily that 100% of the people we work with are going to become Firstmark clients, but we believe that we will actually help 100% of the people, whether that be stay with your current carrier, but let's modify your coverage a bit so you're better protected, or ultimately, hopefully come over to Firstmark. We're going to put you with a different company and give you better coverage, right? So the challenge is really challenging individuals to give us an opportunity to prove that to them. That's really what the Firstmark challenge is.
Yeah, and I've heard from some of you already who've taken the Firstmark challenge and you were just waiting for your results. And so I love to hear, especially for you guys who decide to do business with our sponsors, we love to hear what your experience was like, whether you end up signing up with them. So please let me know. But in the meantime, if you've been thinking about it, again, it just takes a little bit of your time. You could save a bunch of money. You could get better insurance, and there is no downside to it. Go to firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Take the Firstmark challenge. And also, Dave Taylor, I should note, is a veteran. So we love supporting veteran-owned companies. All right, I have a lot of pressure to do Florida Report on my own today. Let's get to our segment, Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Yeah, I called Miranda from the road and I was like, I'm sorry, because we always tape a pre-tape Florida Report because she's on a way different time zone. It's just easier that way. And I was like, we have to cancel Florida Report today. And she encouraged me to just do it anyway, because there were some good stories that we had to talk about today. So DeSantis has been on the campaign trail now that he's officially announced his bid for governor. And so he was in, I think this happened in New Hampshire. And it just, one of my arguments against Trump used to be that the media just tears him down. And it just becomes this very divisive situation. And a lot of you had said at the time, well, Brandy, the media is going to do the same thing to Ron DeSantis. And you were right, because they are treating Ron DeSantis essentially the same as they treated Donald Trump. And so Ron DeSantis gave a speech in front of supporters and then didn't take questions from the crowd after, but then he was out mingling, right? So there's this AP reporter who, you know, sticks a mic in Ron DeSantis's face and wants to know why he's not taking questions from the people. And Ron DeSantis looks around. They're in a crowd of people who he's actively talking to and taking questions from. And he goes to this AP reporter like, are you blind? Here is the clip.
Why not take any questions from voters, Governor? Governor, how come you're not taking questions from voters?
Stop coming up to me, talking to me. What are you talking about? I'm not here working with people. Are you blind?
What?
Are you blind?
I'm not blind.
Okay, so people are coming up to me, talking to me, whatever they want to talk to me about.
Which I usually don't like when politicians talk to members of the media that way, when he's like, are you blind? But are you blind? Because I was literally like, he's in a crowd of people.
That's a human reaction to an annoying person yelling that at you when you're literally doing it.
He's in the crowd. Yeah, he's taking pictures and people are coming up to him and saying, why won't you take questions from the people? As he's literally surrounded by the people. And that's why people don't trust the media. Because they're just like, what do you think he's doing? He could have been on a schedule or whatever. Maybe he wanted face-to-face time, that he didn't take questions standing up on stage after he spoke. It's just so bizarre.
I think in a situation like that, it's obvious that that reporter doesn't like him, right? Because if you liked him, you would phrase that differently when he's literally in a crowd of people taking questions.
It wouldn't have come up in your mind. It's just like you're actively looking, and I'm all for holding politicians accountable. I think that every person running for the highest office in the land should be asked very, very difficult questions, but questions that make sense. And that reporter never would have went to Biden like, why didn't you take questions from the people? Can you imagine Biden
he might, because Biden doesn't.
I know, but at a campaign event and the president spoke, can you ever see, first of all, the president walking around the room like that? And second, that a reporter would go up and be like, why didn't you take questions on stage from the people?
Right.
Never would have happened in a million years. Okay, also on the Ron DeSantis campaign front, man, Trump, he's so petty. He's so petty. And I know this is going to start to become like an anti-Trump, pro-DeSantis show, but I'm not really pro-DeSantis. I'm not on team DeSantis. You guys know I don't like Trump, but some of the stuff he's saying is just ridiculous. And he was saying that, you know, he's gotten super petty against DeSantis in Florida because he's just petty against people who are running against him or who don't support him. Donald Trump lives at Mar-a-Lago. He lives there. If he hated Florida, I don't think that he would live there. And he made this comment about how New York under Governor Cuomo did better than Ron DeSantis did during COVID, which is just an absurd statement. So anyway, Ron DeSantis reacted to that pushed back against that sentiment.
If you say Cuomo did a better job with COVID than Florida did, first of all, that's not what he used to say. This is like new. Like 6 months ago, he would have never said that, right? He used to say how great Florida was. Hell, his whole family moved to Florida under my governorship. Are you kidding me? So some of this stuff, I think, is, look, if someone is saying that, I am gonna counterpunch. I'm gonna fight back on it. I'm gonna focus my fire on Biden. And I think he should do the same. He gives Biden a free pass. I'm focusing on Biden. That's my focus.
Yeah, and I agree in part with DeSantis there. I mean, obviously, when you're competing with someone for the nomination of your party, you do have to set yourself apart from them. I wish he would do it in not unhinged ways that actually make sense and try to draw a distinct, clear policy difference between himself and DeSantis versus claiming that Florida is some terrible place when obviously he doesn't believe so. But I'm worried that, because if you've seen the Trump and DeSantis camps, like their surrogates, are being insane to each other on Twitter. It's so childish. It's so petty. And I'm like, a year of that? A year of you guys rolling around in the mud? Well, there are so many things that you can attack Biden on and focus on Biden, Biden, Biden. It's bizarre to me. So I do think Trump, as much as I understand that he needs to make sure that he's the nominee and that's what any candidate would want to do, I still wouldn't do it. You know, we talked about it yesterday. Don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Okay, I realize I'm not as entertaining as my sister, but that has been Florida Report.
It's not even controversial anymore.
People know in Florida their freedoms are going to be respected.
Okay, I've been talking about Eastside Weight Loss Clinic. I've lost more than 35 pounds, and I was just looking for... there's been so much awesome feedback from people who've been doing the program since, I heard from one person since Easter who's already lost a bunch of weight, someone who started at the beginning of February. And I love, love hearing those stories because whenever you guys share them with me, you just talk about how good you feel. And that makes me feel great because the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan, it's not easy. It really is difficult. It's not magic. You know, it's learning a new way of feeding your body and fueling your body. And so when I hear people who've done it, and just feel so invigorated, I think it's great. So if you've been thinking about, you know, maybe trying to shed a little bit of weight, feel good, feel healthy again, check out EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, EastsideWeightLossClinic.com, and just schedule a free 15-minute consultation with Dr. Ryan Coogan. He'll explain the program for you, and you can decide whether it's right for you. But one of the things I've been saying is the results are really quick. In the first 60 days, I lost around 30 pounds, and that's what I've been hearing from a lot of you guys on social media as well. So you could be into, you know, midsummer, just starting your summer, and already be looking and feeling better. So EastsideWeightLossClinic.com. Schedule that free 15-minute consultation. Make sure to tell them that you heard about them on the Undivided podcast. Okay, let's get to some comments. I had a really fun time with subscribers last night for our monthly Q&A. So if you're a subscriber to the show, I do a Q&A from my house usually. It's very casual with subscribers every month and just answer any questions. And we just chit-chat. Nicole, I had a lot of requests for you to be on the Q&As.
Okay.
So maybe next apparently month? I'm not enough. No, I understand why. Yeah, next month.
I'm well, in.
A lot of Nicole chatter in the Q&A last night. So how about next month? You do, or it's this month.
Yeah, that was June.
Yeah, June's Q&A. Nicole is saying that she'll join us for it. So that's great. Okay, on my car problems, I knew there were going to be some of these. Joe says, Brandy went from Rolls Royce at Fox to beater for Undivided. LOL, I love the commitment. Fine, I'll subscribe so you can get a Disney vehicle. I have a nice car.
I know. I put that in there because I thought you had to defend your car. I think you had this car when you worked for Q.
At the end, I drove a Kia when I worked for Fox. So, and then like the last year, it'd be right before I quit my job, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a nice car. And I got a Cadillac through the Costco car buying program. And maybe if I knew I was going to quit my job, I wouldn't have got it. But I have a nice car, and it's fairly new, which makes this all the more perplexing. But you know, I don't have a Rolls Royce.
I think the new ones are often, there's like a technical glitch that happens. I'm surprised that this is happening so many years into you getting it. Usually they start to happen in the first year or two, like the technical glitches when they're all computerized like this.
But. You know what car I low-key want?
What?
Have I told you already?
Uh-huh.
I want a Ford Bronco.
I know.
I want a Ford Bronco because my dad had one, and I have a lot of like nostalgia about it. I think like a lot of people my age and my generation do.
I like the new ones. Well, I think you say Bronco and people think OJ, so I think that's unfortunate. So that's the nostalgia.
Yeah.
But I do think they're really cool looking and fun.
Pondering it. Yeah. But I like the car I have right now. I haven't had any issues with it until now. The gas mileage. Okay, Tegan says on Facebook, breaking down is no fun. Glad you're okay. Nicole to the rescue. That's a true friend. And you even pulled up.
So that I blocked
so
you.
So that you blocked when I got out of my car so that you blocked traffic from hitting me.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh my gosh. So nice. Okay. On Mark Mullett announcing his bid for governor, Kyle on Patreon says, Fergie is attacking Mark Mullett, but he's not even in the fight yet, right? Isn't he still the exploratory face? That's what I said. Mm-hmm. It's like, this was an exploratory attack at. I just put that exploratory attack at. It wasn't even really, a good
really,
one.
I really don't like him.
I'm going to talk more about attack ads in my closing sanity check. Have you reached out to Bob Ferguson about coming on the show?
Oh, yes.
Nothing?
Got nothing back. Shocking.
Why? I'm just kidding.
Actually, we'll see if Mark will come on again.
Of course he will.
I mean, if he does, he's the only one from that side that has agreed.
I know.
This
point. We've reached out to Hillary Franz. I got a little text back from her, but their campaign hasn't gotten back to us yet. You're going to need us. I'm just saying.
I know.
Bob Ferguson doesn't need us, but if you want the moderates, this is the show. I want this show to be the kingmaker. Where if you want to win, you have to come on the show and answer questions.
I like it.
You know, the moderates. I want this to be the place where the moderates get informed.
Okay.
On their votes. You know, the independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. If you want the independent thinkers, you got to come on Undivided. So, or not, if you're scared that reverse psychology work. Okay, let me see here. Lieutenant Dan says, is Ferguson's exploratory campaign a way to avoid campaign finance laws? To the best of my knowledge, it has nothing to do with it. Federally, there would be a difference. But with this, there is no difference. I think we went through this once before. I do not believe that there is a financial difference. In Washington state, there is no distinction. So you're either a candidate or you're not. So he, if you go to the PDC, it says he's a candidate for governor. It doesn't say he's an exploratory candidate for governor. He's a candidate. He has to file the same information with the PDC.
The next person has a guess. I think a guess. I don't know. Maybe they're right.
Todd says the exploratory, so Ferguson can request from donors to have contributions to his attorney general contributions to be shifted over for governor.
So maybe it's like a double dip thing, and so he can.
I'm not sure that's true.
I don't know.
Ask this person for where they heard that from. I don't think that there's any difference. There is this debate going on about whether your surplus campaign funds can be moved over, and Hillary Frans is trying to push against that happening because she doesn't have the war chest that Bob Ferguson has, and so she has a reason to kind of do that, and we'll see how all of that shakes out. But I don't believe there's any financial distinction. It's just I think he wants to appear humble. We got endorsements for our exploratory campaign. Dude, that's ridiculous. Weiss Castle, I need to stop saying dude. I was at the mall the other day, and there was these two teen girls, probably like 15, and one of them was trying something on. The other's like, dude, that looks so good, dude. I was like,
I gotta stop saying that now.
I was like, oh my God, I immediately need to stop saying dude, because it sounded,
you don't say that often.
It was hurting my ears. It was piercing. I was like, do kids talk like that now? It was the most... Anyway, really off track on a lot of things today. Okay, let me see here. Weiss Castle says, Mullet doesn't mention public safety. We need the world to see how bad things have become. I don't want people hurt, but people are being hurt. He does. He did in the full. We didn't play the full video. Right. It was like 3 minutes, but he does talk about public safety.
Talks about neighborhoods being safe for everybody.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so he did. And that's one of the things he's been pushing against his party on is common sense public safety things. Right. And I've appreciated that about him
for
sure.
He didn't really tackle Seattle-ish, you know, specifically in that, but he generally said safe streets.
He did, yeah. So you can watch the full video, but we're not going to play a three-minute video on the show. Okay, on sex ed, H says, why is the left pushing their agenda? Is it money, control? I just don't get it. I don't know. I'm sure money factors into it. I'm sure control factors into it. I almost think that there's like this sounds conspiratorial, but as we know, a lot of conspiracies turn out to be true. It's almost like this effort that there's like, they want to strip everyone of their individuality. So it's like, it's neither a boy or a girl. It's like, you're just like human. Bought.
Yeah, I think like, there's a lot of things that play into it. It's like over-sexualizing younger. I don't really understand that one, but there is the breakdown of families. And I think all of this kind of breaks down that family unit because there's so much controversy in it. Or, you know, kids getting pregnant sooner, they're relying on government more, things like that.
I will also say, and this was brought up on the live Q&A last night, with the implant, the puberty implant. Keep in mind, this is Planned Parenthood bringing this into the schools, right? And it has the brand name Supralin LA. Can you see who manufactures Supralin LA? Because I'm like, is Planned Parenthood like paid to put this in there as a brand name? And it's like by Big Pharma and it's to make money. Again, maybe that sounds conspiratorial. Supralin with two P's, LA. I'm curious who makes it. Okay, let me continue on the comments. Tracy says, and the public school system doesn't understand why we as parents don't trust them and what they're teaching our children. Yeah. Rick says, the Olympia School District is dysfunctional and a disgrace. We have a bloated district office with high-paying administrators that was funded by temporary COVID funds. Now, shockingly, programs are being cut, teaching staff is facing layoffs, and class sizes will increase. It's the district office that should be slashed. They should all resign. Did you get an answer?
Yeah, it's Indo International Pharmaceuticals.
I don't know who that is. Yeah. But I do find it interesting that they felt the need to put a little brand name on there.
Headquarters in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, the Irish.
Right.
And they're indoctrinating our kids. No. Lynn says, they used to split the girls and boys into separate classes and talk to each class about their bodies and puberties. That was way less embarrassing. Is that no longer done? That's a good question.
Yeah, that happened to me. We were in separate classes.
Well, I would imagine they wouldn't do that because that suggests that there's a difference between boys and girls. So I highly doubt in the same class that they're presenting the gender wheel where you can identify as an intersex femme presenting boy who uses the pronoun tree. I highly doubt that they put the kids in male and female class because that would be too offensive.
I do agree with it. You know, we've approved this curriculum for public school employees to teach kids, and we're having an Planned Parenthood, which is full of activism, and come in and teach the kids that. It seems very wrong, and it seems like that shouldn't be approved, shouldn't be a thing anyway.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. I thought it was interesting, though. I did a little live poll, and it's I asked, did the approved Flash curriculum seem age appropriate to you? And I'm wondering if people understood the question, because 60% said no. When I looked at that, I'm like, that seems pretty mundane. Is it age appropriate for fourth and fifth graders?
The Flash curriculum that we were saying is approved. I hope people are distinguishing.
Yeah, let me know if maybe I worded the question wrong. I mean, I can understand how maybe you wouldn't want your fourth and fifth graders to hear about erections and stuff.
Some of that,
but you know, some of it, like, they're going to start to experience it with their bodies, right? Naturally,
and then it also we didn't include it because we were comparing, but there is the sexual people touching you in certain ways. There is the whole. There is a section on that. I mean, it did seem fourth, fifth, sixth, it's all one lumped into one, but it did seem pretty age appropriate to me.
Yeah, it's like a figure of a body.
Right.
And a, genitals.
Yeah, and I mean, those pictures, I mean, they're pretty detailed, but they can also look down.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's...
Oh, Dano said, I did not understand the question. Okay, maybe my poll was a little skewed. Sorry. What I don't like about the polls on YouTube, the live polls, is you can't do multiple choices. You can only have a yes or no question.
Right.
So it's hard to word them sometimes. Okay. All right. Good comments and questions as always. Thank you, Nicole. Let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? I just wanted to take a moment because the fact that Bob Ferguson released an attack ad 18 months out from the gubernatorial election tells me that that's going to be the first of many. And I have said this, that I think it's best just to ignore the attack ads entirely. The attack ads against candidates you don't like, the attack ads against candidates you do like, because as a journalist who, covered politics for a long time, I will tell you, it was very rare to see an attack ad that was being genuine, that was entirely factual, that wasn't gaslighting in some way. And that is just the nature of attack ads. And for me, if you're going to vote against someone, if I'm going to vote against someone, I want to vote against them on the merits. I want to vote against them on the facts. I don't want to be duped by anyone, including a candidate I like, into voting against someone based on an attack ad that wasn't entirely true. And I think for Bob Ferguson, was there anything incorrect about that attack ad? No. But all attack ads are designed to mess with our emotions a little bit, to mess with our brains a little bit, to plant ideas in our brains about who someone is and what they stand for. And to me, that attack ad in 30 seconds was basically like, Mark Mullett hates women and he also hates workers. And I just don't think that's true. So for the sake of sanity, I think the best possible thing is either to ignore when those mailers come in the when they come in the mail, the attack ads, straight in the trash. I think I said that last election cycle. You take the attack ad mailers, straight in the trash. Unless you're willing to take the time to look through every single claim and fact check it and verify it. And the same thing for the ads that you're going to see on social media, the ads that you're going to see on TV. If we're going to hear those for 18 months, that's going to mess with our sanity. And the best thing you can do is just block them out or come watch Undivided and we will explain whether the attack ads are factual or not. Okay, that has been it for today's episode of Undivided. We made it. I survived the interstate. And we'll see what happens with my
car. Car's still there.
We left my car on the side of the interstate.
Supposed to have been
running, by the way.
Yeah.
Because while the engine wasn't moving, the car would not shut off. So I left it running with the little flashers hazards on.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. Well, I shouldn't have said that because now somebody's going to go steal it if it's still there.
I'm hoping it's gone because it was supposed to be picked up by now.
Supposed to be gone. I think it is. Who knows? Because
phone you can't go ahead, steal that car that's going to break down on the freeway.
Yeah, I mean, it can't move. It wouldn't move anyway. But anyway, I'm an adult. We made it through. Nicole came to my rescue and we put on an episode of Undivided. I should tease. Oh my gosh, I didn't even include what were a tease for the Sunday show.
Oh, it's already Thursday.
It's already Thursday. So this week on Sundays with subscribers, Semi Bird, who is a Republican candidate for governor, joined me in here. We taped a really long interview, hopefully not too long for some of you who are like, why are your interviews so long? But a great conversation with him about, I think some of his unique aspects as a candidate. I think you'll find him to be a very likable guy. I had some questions certainly about some things that have popped up in his background. There's a very liberal blogger out in Richland, where he's from, who like hates him, who's written some terrible things about him. And I'm like, okay, she probably has an agenda, but let me ask him about some of the things that this blogger has said about him. But we hope to bring you interviews with all the candidates for governor. You too, Bob Ferguson. You're welcome. Have I ever been rude to someone?
I think it would be a great conversation.
You know what? That's one of the things I learned from Dory. Dory was so good at treating every single person who agreed to an interview with respect, even if he knew he was going to disagree up and down with everything they asked him. And so, yeah, I mean, of course, Bob, you already know that I don't want you to be governor, but we can have a nice, robust conversation about it.
Absolutely.
It'll be wonderful. So please join us for Sundays with Subscribers. I think we have a good time on the show and bring you some important conversations. It is, of course, exclusive to subscribers, so you would need to sign up for $5 a month. You can do that at undividedpod.com. That's undividedpod.com. And by doing so, you are helping us to give common
this one won't be
sense. You did you interrupt
yeah,
my...
Yeah, sorry. Before you close it.
My saying?
We decided candidates won't be... 100% exclusive.
Yeah, we'll release a big chunk of it because we won't bottle up candidate interviews behind the scenes.
I just want to make sure everybody knew.
Well, now they're not going
to
go subscribe. Thanks, Nicole. Nope. You made me not put a paywall on a story.
But then you won't get the tea that we
That's true.
Spill.
Yes, we spill tea every Sunday. But yeah, when we have candidates on, it will be exclusive for subscribers in terms of they get early access to those interviews. But we do put a big chunk of them out publicly because we just can't do that to voters. We can't do it. Anyway, can I deliver my line now?
Okay, go for it.
By doing so, you are helping us to give common sense a comeback. We'll see you guys back on the live show on Monday for subscribers. We'll see you on Sundays with subscribers. Have a great weekend, everyone.